Blog Talk Radio.
Here, your emperor, the advisor that wants to serve you, and the advocate you need. Thank you so very much for joining us this evening in another segment of Reordering the Marriage Vows for the African American for the 21st Century. Today's segment will be on the 10th year of marriage, the contractual agreement, And what a job we have ahead of us, but it's something that we can do as a unified tribe. We'll be discussing what the options are in marrying yourself to a communal situation of marrying your community. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have been advancing ourselves right through this topic, and I'd like to read you a few segments from other researchers and what they're doing out there. And according to Orbit, the author of 5 Steps to Take Your Marriage from Good to Great, he indicates that there is hard times for the institution of marriage, and I agree with him. The statistics shows that approximately half of all marriages end in divorce. Half, ladies and gentlemen. And to be exact, those half would probably include quite a few of the African American. And through the exact breakdown of the numbers here, he will have all types of documentations available for us to read. There is a study that's been going on, and that study that he has been working on is with approximately 373 couples. And Orbit, the author of 5 Steps to Take Your Marriage from Good to Great, is a director of the Early Years of Marriage Project at the University of Michigan. He funded this program by the National Institute of Health. It is the longest-running study of marriage couples ever conducted. And he goes on to talk about how they are managing these 373 couples and their marriages. They've been tapping into their marriages since 1986. That means they've had a peephole into their lives. And that's a good thing, ladies and gentlemen, and that is what OMI is proposing that I do with these 5 couples during with the five couples, there will be a 1-year pilot program that will monitor and work with these couples in the communal tribal effort to marry them back to the community. And don't think that it's strange, ladies and gentlemen. For the longest, our ancestors have been tribal people. And guess what? They only used to marry within tribes. They did not marry outside of the tribes. You can even monitor all of what I'm saying back to Scripture. They talked about certain tribes not mixing with certain tribes. And as you know, the Hittites, the Moabites, the Jebusites, they were often frowned upon to marry into those different tribes. So the reason for my tribal concept is not a new one. It is something that's offspringing from our existence history of our ancestors in a tribal effort. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about creating the opportunity to have economic status. What African Americans are falling short of and what has been causing statistically the problem of African Americans' marriage is mainly finance. If we can get that little thing together of finance, if we bring these couples together, they collectively compile their finances in their effort to store money away, to invest and to advance it, it will give them better options to work and advance themselves in hierarchy. It would allow them to advance themselves and create institutions in their community. It will give them clout amongst the hierarchy and a say-so in avenues where they normally wouldn't have those options. So we're looking at the collaborative effort, first of all, in the economic status. Then we'll look down the way as these couples regroup, go back to the table to examine the extension of the benefits of becoming intimate with one another in a group as they begin to cohabitate together. Looking at the benefits, of course, this is the tribe's decision. OMI will not come in and regulate and make endorsements. OMI will only make suggestions. If you are adamantly involved financially with this institute, this corporation, then it would only be fitting to be involved with this group if you are going to cohabitate with other extracurriculum and activities and social engagement. So that would be something that will be further studied and researched, but we will go into that in deep discussion in a minute. What I like to do is take a station identification, but before I do that, I like to say hello to my guests out in the audience, and we'll be right back at you in the atmosphere with our talking cure. Once again, I'd like to say welcome, and thank you so very much for joining us, and lock in that dial at 646-478-0270. Let me say hello to my guests. Hello. You're
Hello,
in the
good
atmosphere.
Evening. Good evening.
How are you?
I'm great, my sister, and yourself?
I'm fine. And ladies and gentlemen, I have Floyd on the line here. He is going to be our guest for the evening, and I'll be coming right back at you in a second, and I will be introducing Floyd, and he will be talking from an expert perspective. We will be engaging him in a discussion. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks a lot, Floyd, and we'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. Ladies and gentlemen, join us as we take a station identification. We'll be right back at you.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, well, well. Seems like all I wanna do is you, all day thinking about you. You're my every dream come true. Since that day I found you, I used to be a player going hard, but now we're holding hands in this park. It's funny how you stop the wrong you used to do when you fight and you leave it. You help me right. You've been the number one lady in my life. So long, so long, so long. Girl, your love helped me write this song. You help me, baby. You're the words to the melody. You complete my song.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for joining us back with The Talking Cure. Will you please stand to your feet as you join me in the orientation for The Talking Cure. And ladies and gentlemen, this is done for the benefit of those who might be needing to tap into the energies to be that we collectively bring together on this occasion. And as I pour this libation, I'll be speaking in the language of Yoruba and interpreting that language. This is a praise that is done in Yoruba. The prayer and the praises. Orisha tu wa late, orisha tu la late olurum, orisha tu late olurum, orisha tu late awa, orisha tu la oguza, orisha tu la okulon orum, orisha tu la okule. Arishatula ifamio, arishatula okum, arishatula odu, arishatula mojuba, 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 ibashe, 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 iba okum, iba okum, iba iba, iba oshum, iba oshum, Iba ashe, iba ashe, iba ashe, mojuba, 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 iba ashe, iba ashe, okun mojuba, iba ashe. In translation, spirit comes from the beginning of the world. Spirit that comes from the east. Spirit that comes from the north. Spirit that comes from the south. Spirit that comes from the celestial world. Spirit that comes from the planet earth. Spirit that comes from the holy city, Ile Ife. Spirit that comes from the pro and the faux ocean. Spirit that comes from the rivers. Spirit that I praise you. Spirit, I praise you. Homage comes to pass. Homage comes to pass. Homage comes to pass. Homage comes 400 spirits on the right side, Lord of the light. Homage to the 100 spirits on the left side, Lord of the light. I praise you, I praise you. Homage comes to pass, homage comes to pass, homage comes to pass. The Holy Diviner, I praise you, I praise you. Homage comes to pass, homage comes to pass. Diviner on the right side, I praise you. Diviner on the left side, I praise you. Diviner on the east side, I praise you. Diviner on the west side, I praise you. Homage comes to pass, homage comes to pass. Iba ashe, may the blessings and the praises be added to the words for Oladulamare as we lift up unions of relationship around the world as I pour libation to my mother spirit. As I pour libations to my father spirit. I light a candle to my mother's spirit and I say, Ashe. I light a candle to my father's spirit and I say, Ashe. As we invoke those spirits out in the lagoons, if you're on your way, we ask that you to please come. If you're out in the ocean, we ask you to please come. If you're in the middle passage, we ask that you please come. Please come and lift up the souls that are uniting in holy matrimony. We ask that all institutions that are represented here today be empowered. We ask that every potential marriage that will be engaged, we ask that those marriages be represented here today. We ask the old spirit to be able to be invoked in their lives and that this spirit may be a spirit of harmonious love and gesture. We praise you, O Romola, we praise you, we magnify you, that you will begin to unite relationships as we begin to lay the foundation and the groundwork so that these couples can come together. And if our relationships last but 1 year, we pray that you be in the midst of them. We pray that you begin to start to lay foundation to reorder the marriage vow. We pray that you show the Africans what their ancient ancestors had left as a pattern for them. Let us tap into the patterns of the old and utilize them to correct the problems of today. We ask that you will begin to invest the time and effort to meet and greet every one of these relationships and show them the path and the way to good, right consciousness and right character. We pray that these will be noble relationships and not one of them will be connected to things that will bring down the relationship. And we ask you, Father, we ask that you will lay the foundation as we begin to do the studies, as we begin to bring families together in our effort to create a new concept from the past. We thank you for the opportunity to come before you today, and we bow down and pay homage to you. We say, Iba Ashe, Iba Ashe, so be it, so let it be done. We'd like to thank you for going in to the Talking Cure with us as you meditate, closing your eyes, meditating on nothing but pure atmosphere, allowing God to permeate your minds and your bodies as you meditate quietly. I'll synchronize my vital signs with yours as you synchronize yours with mine, taking deep breaths and thinking on nothing but pure God and oxygen. I'd like to thank you for lending your Ashe to our ritual today. And as we teach you to pray, pray in like ways for your family, for your husbands, and for your wives. And husbands, you are to love your wife. It is commanded for you to love your wife. And wives, it is commanded for you to obey your husband. And as you begin to become one, you will understand that this is an institution where you are able to praise God. You are going higher and higher in your spirit as you lift God up. As you understand the purpose of relationships and institutions, know this, family. It is not about ourselves. We are a tribal group, and we come together in holy matrimony to represent the kingdom. To God be the glory. Thank you so very much, family, for going with me on that ritual trip. Some of you have needs and desires. If you have needs that are not met and you desire to have the energies that are frequent in this room, tap in now. Tap into the powers to be so that you can get the things you need in your life done. Tap in and ask the Spirit to reveal himself to you and assist you. It is here and available for you. As we go on with our discussion, I'd like to bring in our guest now, but I'd like to introduce him, if you would just pardon me as I introduce him. Ladies and gentlemen, who we're talking with in this room is Flora G. Potts, Sr. He was born in Harlem, New York, on August the 7th in 1960. At the age of 4, his family then relocated to Brooklyn, New York. He is the father of 6 sons, 1 daughter, and the grandfather of 5. He is an internet radio TV talk show host, authoring The Motivational Speaker. His first book is entitled Why Your Man Will Not Stop Cheating. Until that, he talks about his, he said, and until he does, this is the book for you. And I think that you definitely should go out and get his book. He attended Nyack College in Nyack, New York. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He can correct me later. After this, he went on to the United States Air Force, where he did a tour in both the United Kingdom and in the Republic of Korea. After that, he spent almost 10 years in the military. He got out of the service in 1990. Then he settled in Washington, D.C. in 2004, and he relocated to the Atlanta, Georgia area as 2-time divorcee and a single dad. His 2 younger sons he was taking care of, and being divorced for the 2nd time and now a single father, it caused him to ask the question, why is it so challenging to stay in a successful relationship? This was the motivation for writing his first book, he says, in 2007. Floyd met Valerie Welch, and the 2 of them started brainstorming this question. They would ask each other. They would hold the forum in the living room with equal amounts of male and females to try and come up with an answer. His passion for the question was so strong that in January 2008, he decided to be the co-host on a new thought-provoking talk radio show that Valerie thought of called Breaking Down the Walls. Floyd hopes that he can reach other couples and motivate them to avoid the mistakes and bad decisions he made in his own marriage and relationship. Now, I'd like to introduce you, ladies and gentlemen, to Floyd G. Potts, Sr. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bring him on in a second here, trying to see if he's still out here. Floyd?
Yep, I'm still here.
He's still in the atmosphere. We're going to bring Floyd on, and I'm going to have him give you a little bit of information about himself, and then we're going to target right in with those questions to Floyd. And Floyd, you are welcome, and I did have a chance to speak to him earlier, ladies and gentlemen. I know he's going to be a treat. Floyd, you have the atmosphere.
Well, thank you very much, Amiyanka. I naturally want to thank you for having me on your show.
You're welcome.
I tell you, I'm somewhat of an early bird, you know. I'm here on the East Coast. I'm normally in the bed this time of the evening. So I hope to be able to give you all the energy that I have and answer any questions. And by the same token, give any, for that matter, unsolicited input on my behalf that can add to the subject this evening. I'm very much looking forward to the conversation.
Okay. Now, Floyd, I wanted to, I know that I gave a mouthful about yourself. If there's anything I might have left out that you want the listening audience to know about you, please don't hesitate to just break right in there. We're pretty loose in this classroom. I call it a classroom. However, we are really, really gung-ho about our topics. And Floyd and I talked earlier about the topic because I want to make sure that this is not anything over his head, because we are coming from an African perspective in this room, and I wanted him to know that. And sometimes people don't realize that, but Floyd understood right away what I was talking about coming from the ancient African perspective. So I'm going to throw some questions at you, Floyd. The concept, marrying the community in a communal setting. I know you asked the question about, is it for pure economic status? I was wondering, what do you see as the benefits of a group like this who have been handpicked, brought into a setting where this young couple could actually screen and interview the couples they want in their group. And once they look through their bios, what do you see the benefit of this group having together as working together as a union?
Well, the one benefit I can see in this type of setting, and for me, I think it would be the primary benefit of this, you know, that old saying that birds of a feather flock together. By joining in a communal setting like this, where there's a goal for the community, their goal can be economic advancement, or just community advancement for that matter, bettering the lives of the individuals in terms of having a positive, one consistent goal that they're working towards. I think that in itself is very, very key, because it allows for individuals, I give an example, you may have some that are older in that particular community, to really mentor those younger individuals that are in their community and bring them along in the right way, nurturing and mentoring. And by the same token, by having those younger individuals there, it provides for a constant source of energy for those older ones that are in the community, as well as new ideas on a constant basis that are being brought to the community, and just really providing vision for the community and direction, which I think is something in particularly in the African American community that we are missing, real direction. So to me, I see that it's the key benefit is that it's vision, direction, there's mentorship, and there's a concentrated effort to promote a very, very solid, positive, consistent, and upwardly mobile community.
Well, you know, Floyd, I think that this whole effort to bring about a tribal effect would be closing the gap of that power of one. For so long, we have been adapting to a Eurocentric concept of the power of one. And I think there was a number of movies that were accentuating the power of one. And we saw what happened with Martin Lawrence as he demonstrated in A Marriage of the Power of One, when all along his Southerner family was trying to teach him the benefits of a tribal communion. And it kind of flashed back memories when I saw that movie. Immediately, he kept failing at everything he was doing individually. And there was only one person on his team, his wife. And she was very supportive, but it wasn't enough. His family kept trying to employ that the Jenkins families are a tribe. We are collectively a team. And it brought me back home to thinking, how beneficial could Martin have been if he had the whole team of his family, communal family, on his side as a team? The economic status he would have had would have been over his head. He couldn't have been able to conceive it. And the support for his television show, eventually he needed his tribal support team to appear on this radio show to make his radio show go over, as you notice. You might want to go back, ladies and gentlemen, and view that movie and see what I'm talking about. Now, I'm going to take you back a little further in the fact that these particular teammates should be able to be intimate. Now, I know Martin's group couldn't, but I'm talking about a group of people who could come together and say, I am going to cohabitate with these people who I build with as I build my nest egg, I build my institution and corporation. These are the people I'm going to cohabitate with. Now, down the road, as I think this thing through, our whole mission is to have these people to become intimate together and truly sign contracts, a contractual agreement that will say, I am committed to the establishment of this corporation in an intimate, perhaps, marital affair, so that we are going to only swing with the ones in this group and not outside people, and we will build with this group. Now, it's okay, I think, if we get to the point where a king says, I cannot be entertained by only one woman, fine. We know that African men were brought up this way. It's in our genes. Let's not deny it. It's in the female genes. Now, we're not going to quarrel with that issue about you have to have 5 or 10 men to please you or 5 or 10 women. We're not going to quarrel with that. We're going to give the king their share of women, and we're going to give the queen her share of men. But do it in a cohabitat where you know something about the person. Your assets have been accountable for. Nobody is going to undermine the other person by trying to jack that person for their things or try to go out with the one woman and sneak out with the things on the other hand. We know how we do each other. So we need a contract in there to say what it is we promise we're going to do so that we don't undermine the situation of someone that is open and caring to give you what they have without any consequences. There has to be a contract to make a commitment. As that first person who designed their marriage and wrote contract and put it together, they will extend it to those five couples. And I'm recommending that it is a contract without counter. There will be no counters on that contract. Or they can write a contract that says you have the ability to make adaptation and resubmit it back. However, once the contract is solidified, there will be no constantly revisiting that contract until that first 5 years is up. Then they revisit the contract, and then they make all the addendums and changes they want. Now, in that contract, that first person who's married, they have the marriage certificate. The other couples who come in, they have their own marriage certificate. Now, remember, they're marrying themselves to the community of that one person who they invited them there. That one person has a chance to go through the files, read about their bios, their background, and try to select people that will match up with their personality, invite them to the wedding. At that point, the marriage ceremony will be conducted as usual in the African format. I want to tell you something. For the benefit of those people out there that are saying, is this conducive for children that are preschool through 8, it is exceptionally conditional. They need to see how our families work. There is nothing perverted about a marriage ceremony that a young child couldn't see. As a matter of fact, most children participate in the marriage ceremony. In the African marriage ceremony that I've done in the past, it is done conducively for the family, and the dowries are given. It is a beautiful setting and one that every child should be able to observe, and adults. So it is definitely age-appropriate for the family and the child. I want to stress that. So during this time, this ceremony is going on. There's dowries being brought. Each one of these couples are asked to bring a gift to give to the family that they're going to marry. They bring gifts, they bring money, they bring all sorts of things. And as they bring these things, they're building up their nest egg as a family, a community. And as they work together, they're recycling the women out into the workforce, the other women who are staying home, appropriating. So you are duplicating yourselves at least 5 times for the women and 5 times for the men. So money is coming in. It's being stockpiled. It's being put in the bank. Now, I remind you, a lot of races are not going to like this because you're going to be able to get ahead and you're going to be able to become affluential. And they're not going to like you advancing yourself over some so-called minorities. Let me also point out to you also, Floyd, this thing about minority is a misnomer. We are not minorities. We are the majority, and we've been acting like it in the arena of economics because economics says we're the number one consumer. We spend the most money, and we keep the economy going with our dollar, and we know this now. So we don't have to act like minorities. We can stockpile our money, make investment in land, buying property, buying corporations, buying all sorts of manners of men. So that we understand as we begin to build up as an institution, we help others, and other tribes will break off from us. Now, I don't know how you're going to take that, but I'm certainly going to put it out there for those of you who want to participate. And, Floyd, I want to get your opinion on this.
Well, my sister, as I stated earlier, I can see the benefit of it from an economical standpoint, from an intimate standpoint, where you have a multiplicity of intermingling there of couples. I think that is going to be something that those individuals that subscribe to that are really going to have to be committed to that. And it takes a special individual to say that. I give an example. Most of us men are territorial. And I can appreciate the fact that you were saying, yes, we do come up with a Eurocentric mindset. So a lot of what we do is based on that. And I can also appreciate the fact that in ancient Africa and in some areas in Africa, they still believe in polygamy. I think for us on this side, as we've tried to move forward, as we've tried to establish a connectivity to one wife, let's put it that way, as men, we are very, very men. We are very, very territorial. And most men, I would think, well, let me put it like this. Let me just speak for Floyd Potts. Okay. For me, as a man, and I commit to one woman, commit to my wife, I can see committing to a community in terms of economics, things like that, growth of the community, a vision of the community. But I could not see myself committing in the sense that I'm saying, well, all right, I'm willing to have more than one wife at this point in my life, or that I'm willing to also have, free range to my wife, that she can also go out there and cohabitate with other men. I just think there are things within me that would have an issue with that. Now,
Floyd, the other thing I wanted to say to the listening audience is that this is not for everyone. It is going to be primarily done with a communal group of Yoruba people who have same-like interests, who are used to communal situation. So we're going to be working with the Yoruba Ifa group when we first initially start. So it won't be for everyone. So this will be a prototype for the world to see, but Ifa has been designed to mend the world, not just for Ifa people, but we're going to start with Ifa groups. That way we will have like interests and like minds.
Okay. And that being the case, you're going to have some individuals that may want to join your group, once again, because they like the idea of the economic potential that is there. And the community mindset, the master mindset is what I like it to, where there's minds that have one vision. But then there's a part where they may not subscribe to the Yoruba mindset of the communal, potential communal intimacy.
Now, what we were hoping that because this is going to be a track program and it will be a pilot program, it will be one of the prototypes for the world to look at that has not come from the African perspective in a while. We need to speak up. We need to be out there. And as a marriage and family trainer and coach, I need to be out there presenting my own pedagogical philosophies and my own hypothesis. And because I've been married over 36 years, I do think I have something to offer. And I think that looking at the Yoruba setting, I do want to bring that forward because that has been rather suppressed. It needs to be talked about, revisited, and we need to use our own stuff because we've used everybody else's and allowed them in our bedroom. Now it's time for us to implicate what we can produce from our ancestors. And be it is not for everyone, but it will be a prototype for those who are already in an African conscious setting, which I know they will welcome in the area of Islamic because some of them are already in prototype relationship, such as monogamy in a polygamous relationship. And this will offer for those conscious-minded groups a more structured program and a program that is going to be tested and piloted. And at the same time, I hope to get some of the universities to connect with me as I do my pilot study. So this is not for the lightweight. It will be a collective assignment that will be done by intellects, and this will be connected to a university of some type. I am an adjunct for universities, and I do lecture and speak as a guest speaker. So it wouldn't be that difficult to get it connected to a university to support. So it will go forward with the five prototypes, and then we will look at adding on. I would like to say, for the benefit of time, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to carry our discussion over starting tomorrow. And if you would like, tomorrow's Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, so tomorrow's Thursday. Tomorrow's Wednesday?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll be carrying our discussion over to Wednesday. And if you'd like, Floyd, you're welcome to come back tomorrow for the benefit of time. We're going to stop here and try to cut this segment. But if you will, I'd like to invite you back tomorrow. We do have a guest for next week. But you're certainly welcome to come back and continue on this discussion tomorrow if you like. So would you like to come back tomorrow?
You know what? I would love to, my sister, but I already have a previous arrangement that I take care of on Wednesday evening. So that's going to preclude me from that.
Well, thank you so much.
Well,
thank you so much, because what we're going to do is continue out this whole month. And please do continue, Floyd, to listen in and to monitor what's going on. We certainly enjoyed you this evening. And thank you so much for your input. And listening audience, please go and get the tapes on demand. I'm hoping to buy the manuscripts to add to our book. So a number of this stuff will be added to the book that I'm working on, the workbook, as well as the audio on tape. So we'd like to bid you a good evening, but not goodbye, and we'll see you tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned, same time tomorrow. Have a good evening, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you as well. God bless. After storms, girl, we'll fly above you. Rock it up. Oh, that's what you are to me. Fill me up. You help me reach my destiny. Lying here, counting down before we And we say Odavo to all those listening audience, and Baba Booey to you, y'all. We'll see you tomorrow. Girl, you send me. While we're making love, we'll touch the stars, we'll way past the moon. Cause you send me for you. Traveling out of space. Girl, that's what it's like when I'm making love to you. Oh, oh, oh. So take your place, get ready for the ride. We're about to fly away right here in this room. Talking about rock it up. Girl, hold on to my side. Fill me up. Let's go to a paradise. I'm counting down the seconds till we take off the safe. Are you ready to go? Girl, first we'll take it slow. Girl, your body, my body, yeah. Our body, soaring in motion, yeah. Us lying here, it's like a world premiere. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Now I'm ready to explore. Send me. Oh, let's touch Venus, baby.
Thank you so very much, listening audience, for joining me all the way on the Care to Read Room. We will be right back here live again tomorrow at 10:30 p.m. Please meet us here at the point of your need so that you can get your needs met tomorrow. We're talking about relationships. We want to thank Floyd for being a part of our show and our guests. And we will see you bright and early tomorrow, 10:30 p.m. Oh, Davo!